Hey, this is Randall.
And this is John.
From the Don't Wake the Kids podcast.
You're listening to our favorite podcast,
Weird. I hope you're ready for some funny.
Ace Podcast.
Weird.
Do you think that Randall ever gets upset because there's really never any funny?
No, there's always some funny.
Some funny.
Yeah, some. Never, you know, a whole lot. But
hey, this is Craig.
My name's Aaron.
Oh, hi, Aaron.
Hey.
I'm Craig. I do the podcast here.
Nice to meet you. Anyway, you're listening to Weird, the podcast.
I'm listening?
I hope you are. The podcast that brings you the best in weird news coverage.
It's the best.
It really is.
Just read the reviews.
Yeah, there's lots of them. But the thing is, you could skip watching network news when you listen to this podcast. Yeah. And everything that's on there is bad news.
Right, because, for instance, like, about a week ago, we had this horrible news came down.
Yep, it was terrible. And it was actually very depressing. See, I don't watch news. We don't watch the news in my house.
Right, so, but you listen to this news.
I do listen to this
news. You never
have
to get upset.
Right.
Except maybe you're laughing so hard you're going to, you know, pass out.
Or something. I don't know.
I'm going to get you to pass out one day.
One day you will, probably. Although I've got a new inhaler, and it I don't know if you'll be able to. That trick may be done for the time being.
Well, but we'll see. You'll be sick again soon. Wait, what?
You know, we got a website, too.
I keep hearing we have a website, but I've seen no proof of it.
Yes, it's if you go to weirdnewspodcast.com, from there, you can leave us a voicemail. Or
that's weird, because I've got a website called weirdnewspodcast.com.
No way, because I don't think that's possible. There can't be two.
Oh. Maybe that's the same one.
I'll share the one I've got with you, though, if
you're
interested.
Okay, that sounds fair.
Our pictures are on there, by the way.
Pictures?
Yeah, and then show notes, places where you can leave comments. If you ever want to leave a comment, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite thing is the voicemail. I wish people would take.
Well, they can't find the button. I told you this.
It's right. If you go to our webpage, it's on the right-hand side, top page. You can't miss it.
If you want to leave a voicemail for an award-nominated podcast.
Podcast award-nominated, yes.
Yep. You could go there and do that, right?
Yeah, and please do.
Top story. Tokyo man arrested for putting curse on school kids.
Oh, wait a minute now. Can you arrest him for that if it didn't work?
Because
I could tell you I'm going to give you, like, a ham sandwich.
Oh, you got a ham sandwich?
But if I don't, if it did, and
I couldn't get you arrested. You couldn't be arrested for that.
No, because nothing happened. But
unless you can get arrested for filing a false ham sandwich report.
Yeah, which you probably could.
Probably.
But let's see what happens.
Tokyo. On the morning of September 26th in Tokyo, school children on their way to a day of learning and play at Edagawa Elementary School.
I think it's Edagawa.
Were crossing a pedestrian land bridge. However, hanging from the railing was a little doll made of straw, along with a note which read,
"A straw doll.
All you brats, jump from here and die." In Japan, straw dogs are dogs?
Dolls.
Stalls.
Straw doll.
Straw dolls.
How do you say them?
Wararingo, something like that, are used in a somewhat familiar fashion to a voodoo doll.
Oh, boy.
And that they're both effigies used to summon a curse upon people. Judging by the note, it would appear that someone had intended to make the children jump to their own death through the power of the straw doll.
These kids, they kick over my bridge.
That someone is believed to be 41-year-old Takeshi Inaba.
Oh, yeah.
Who lives near the school.
You know who that is, don't you?
Old man
Inaba.
Inaba's son?
Yeah.
According to the police, Inaba confessed to inflicting the curse, saying, "Those kids running wild in the park are too noisy.
Inaba, I can't get no sleep.
I cannot get sleep. And I sleep on top of bathroom.
I can't get up in my rice.
I live on top of bathroom and park.
That's
I cannot
right.
sleep."
But you don't know that.
That's a throwback story. Inaba is facing charges of criminal intimidation, which, considering his supernatural method, seems a little excess.
Sure.
While it's debatable whether this incident is technically a threat, it certainly is creepy and a public nuisance. It should be noted that Inaba is also suspected of several cases of graffiti, which read, "Kids are too noisy," on benches and the toilet of the local park where students
where
are known
lives.
To play, where he lives,
yeah,
on top
upstairs.
Of the toilet.
Yep.
He is also believed to have sent over 30 letters
this guy's
to
got
staff
issues.
And parents of Edagawa Elementary School, bad-mouthing them about their inability to control those noisy kids. That's me shaking.
I thought a helicopter was coming.
Yeah, yeah. So I have a bad habit of shaking my leg.
I noticed that.
I'm sorry. I'll try to stop.
I'm going to start calling you up. Oh, wait. Joe Camaro. Yeah, Camaro.
I thought my name was Gamble.
Nope. Joe Camaro.
Anyway, so while he probably won't get hit with the full force of the law, the suspect may have a date with a mental health examiner in store.
Yes, yes. You know, Craig, sometimes we go to the doctor, we get bad news. And then sometimes that bad news turns out to be not so bad.
Right.
Headline is, man learns...
Like, you went and found out that's as tall as you're ever going to get.
That's not funny. But I did learn that my big ear would go down, and I also learned that my new inhaler would make me feel much better.
What if when your ear was huge, said, well, we'll just pump air into your cranium and make your head bigger, and then it'll all balance out?
No, because then I would have had a tiny ear. Well, they weren't both big.
They do that, but then you'd be like a giant balloon head.
I had one ear the size of Minnesota.
Let's not relive it.
Headline is, man learns suspected lung tumor is actually a Playmobil traffic cone he inhaled 40 years earlier.
This is awesome.
In many ways, the human body is a storage locker. For hopes and pretty frustrations. Petty. Did I say pretty?
Yeah.
I meant petty.
You meant petty.
For hopes.
I was being petty just then.
And petty frustrations. For meat and way too many bones. And for one 47-year-old British man recently discovered, sometimes even childhood toys you forgot you inhaled. How do you forget you inhaled a traffic cone?
How do you inhale it and not die?
Earlier this month, the BMJ published a case study describing the man's medical odyssey. Titled,
is that British Medical Journal, maybe?
Yes, it is.
I'm making that up. Is that right?
An airway traffic jam, a plastic traffic cone masquerading as a bronchial carcinoma.
Bronchial carcinoma.
As its name suggests, the report concerns a suspected tumor that turned out to be a long-lost Playmobil traffic cone.
You think he just went, wonder what happened to that?
I'm going to put this up my nose.
Hey, what that's been?
He must have a huge nose,
too. I think the size of that nose is huge.
He cries himself to sleep on his huge pillow. After coming in over a persistent cough that had troubled him for a year.
Sounds like you.
It does sound like me. All summer I've been coughing. A cone-shaped mass was spotted in the man's lungs via X-ray. Since he was a smoker, doctors initially suspected it to be a mass, expected the mass to be a tumor until it was revealed to be a toy cleverly hidden to be played with later. So
I don't think it was cleverly hidden to be played with later.
I don't think it'll be played with later either. According to the BBC, the case study's author says the man's cough had almost gone and his symptoms had improved markedly 4 months after the traffic cone was removed with a flexible bronchoscope. How? And the thing is, they showed a picture of it, Craig.
A picture?
And it was coated in cigarette tar.
How does it bounce around in your lungs and not...
I don't know.
Your lungs are fragile.
Everything that went through his lungs was really cautious around it.
It was very slow-moving. always cautious. Travis County prosecutors say in a court filing that State Representative Dawana Dukes spent more than $51,000 on an online psychic.
Good night, man.
Appeared for work at the Capitol impaired and hit a cell phone from investigators.
This is ridiculous. First of all, $51,000 will get you a couple of new Toyotas.
Right.
And the online psychics, like you said earlier, should have said, okay, no more because I can see they're coming to get you.
We know what's going to happen here. The filing, unless you pay me $50,000.
Then we'll stop them.
Yeah, we'll stop. The filing this week was provided by prosecutors ahead of her October 16th misdemeanor corruption trial and is meant to inform Duke's attorneys of the allegations prosecutors will assert during trial. The Austin Democrat is accused of giving a taxpayer-funded raise to a legislative aide to cover gas money for shuttling Duke's daughter back and forth from
school.
Oh, my goodness. The Austin American-Statesman reports that prosecutors still want to present a felony case against the lawmaker, alleging that she falsified reimbursement vouchers. That'll get you.
Man, she's in all kind of trouble. Democratic Representative Dawana Dukes is in big-time Dawana trouble.
Double D.
You want Dawana Duke? Headline is, let's go to North Korea. You ready?
North Korea.
It's such a place to vacation. Headline is, North Korea owes New York City $156,000 for unpaid parking tickets.
How does that happen?
While North Korea's rogue leader, Kim Jong-un, spends untold resources on his nuclear program, there is one thing he is not paying for, his country's parking tickets. An I-Team investigation.
Do we have a problem with North Koreans coming over and then parking their cars here?
Apparently, they don't give a flip. You know
they
what?
Don't care.
They're the honey badgers of foreigners.
They don't care.
An I-Team investigation found North Korea's diplomatic missions to the United Nations has racked up more than 1,300 unpaid New York City parking tickets going back to 1990s. So that would be Kim Jong-il's fault then.
Yep.
As of this year, the total debt has climbed to more than $156,000. So the I-Team sent an inquiry to an email address listed.
Apple? Was that one of Apple's teams?
Must be. To an email address listed on North Korea's diplomatic website. I bet that's a hoot.
Well, they've only got three websites.
Yeah, it's
right?
One of them. but a responding message said the email was incorrect.
Oh, we sorry. We don't get this message.
No one here right now.
No, we don't get the message.
The I-team was able to track down a North Korean diplomat near the nation's UN office on the 44th Street. He identified himself as Jong Jo.
Oh, yeah, Jong Jo. JJ. We call him JJ.
JJ, Secretary of North Korea's UN mission. Jong Jo told the I-team that he believes there must be an error because New York City has had the right to withhold diplomatic parking ticket privileges from vehicles that accumulate too many unpaid tickets. So he's saying we got a little rule here, you know, in the UN.
Well, he's saying that they would take away their parking privileges.
Right.
And so this must be wrong because they're still parking.
What he said, and this is, I believe his exact words is, we got a little rule here. If we park and we don't pay our tickets, you take away a parking space.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's not true.
It's not true, Joe Jung said. It's false. Whenever we have ticket, we pay. Because, you know, if we had 3 tickets, the city doesn't allow us to renew the permission.
A 2002 Memorandum of Understanding, also known as an MOU.
Yeah, the MOU.
Between New York City and the
or
U.S. And the U.S. Department of State does make clear New York City can withhold a diplomatic parking decal if a vehicle accumulates 3 or more unpaid tickets. So, to make a long story short, I know it's a little late for that. North Korea owes us. North Korea. Kim Jong-un needs to write a check, $156,000 plus, to New York City.
Well, what if we just make North Korea a parking lot? Wouldn't that make everything even?
They paved North Korea.
They took down North Korea and they put up a parking lot.
Put up a parking lot.
Are we done with that story?
Yeah, it's over.
Couple accused of telling their possessed 7-year-old to hit the road.
Oh, my gosh.
He's out there in the front yard punching the street.
We're going to have to come up with a lousy parents theme song because we had the last episode, we had the story of the lady left her four kids home and went out of town for 11 days. This
to
is
Germany,
up there. Yeah.
And she didn't have her papers.
This is like the opposite. They said she didn't have her papers.
She didn't have her papers. Hey, Hooks, Texas. Hooks, Texas man and his wife are out on bond after being arrested on charges of abandoning or endangering a child in August. That seems like an odd thing to charge somebody with. Do they put the months after every one of those?
They do, yeah. Abandoning.
Abandoning or endangering a child in September.
In September, it's a little worse because it's windy. August, you get off a little light.
The dead of winter.
The dead of winter?
Yeah.
That's bad. They put you under the pokey.
The stony lonesome?
Yeah, they put you under the big Gray Bar Motel.
Wow. The big house.
Yeah.
Ronald Keith Wright and Rindy Wright.
Wait, what's her name?
Rindy Wright.
Rindy? You think her real name was Wendy Wright, but her parents were Asian?
You never know.
Rindy!
We're going to get letters.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Stop.
No offense to anyone.
We're going to get letters.
We're just having fun.
Like your Asian accent's not offensive anyway.
It's not so bad.
Anyway, they refused to let their 7-year-old son into their home after he got home from visiting with a neighbor. The couple told the child that he was to leave his home and never return.
Oh, my goodness.
According to the arrest affidavit.
You know what they did?
Tough love.
Gave him the boot.
The boot?
They gave him the boot.
Authorities say the parents then let the child leave with no regard for his safety or whereabouts.
Holy moly. They kicked him out.
Later, the Wrights told law enforcement that they did indeed tell the child to leave. The couple reportedly told investigators they took this action because the boy would not mind or do what he was told.
Well, you know, all children go through phases. You don't kick them out of the house.
You don't spit on Superman's cape.
You don't.
No, you don't tug on his cape. You don't spit in the wind.
That's right.
You don't pull the
I wouldn't
mask
spit on
off
his
the
cape
old
Lone
Ranger, and you don't mess around with Rindy.
Yeah, Rindy.
Rindy doesn't want you messing around with her.
And I would not spit on Superman's cape.
Anyway, in David Bowie County, Texas.
It's not David Bowie.
Oh, it's A. Bowie County.
Yeah,
Aaron Bowie. Texas deputy also said that the couple, in a discussion with a preacher, were told the boy is possessed by demons. The pair also admitted using methamphetamine as a hobby. Well, everybody's got to have a hobby.
Sure.
According to the affidavit, the boy is now in the care of a relative, according to David Bowie County officials. I can't just say Bowie.
No, I guess not. Headline is, police firearms officer.
Officer.
accidentally shoots himself in the foot while on a call.
That, you know what? That's when you hang your badge up.
It's Barney
Fife. You will never live that down.
This must be black and white footage somewhere of this. A police firearms officer. All I'm drinking is water.
Whatever.
A police firearms officer accidentally shot himself in the foot while responding to a call. The officer discharged the weapon by mistake after an early morning visit to a West London property.
At least when he discharged, he wasn't dispatched.
He said, hey, mate. No, wait, that's Australian.
That's wrong.
My London accent's about the same, actually.
Yeah, that's
true. The incident happened in East Acton, about 4 a.m.
Probably just Acton.
4 a.m. on Thursday as the firearms squad left the address. Scotland Yard said...
No, it happened at 4.20 a.m.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, it was. Scotland Yard said that the team had been carrying out a welfare check. What, they deliver them
they
over
deliver
there?
They deliver them now.
Wow.
Yeah, we don't get those delivered like that.
On the property's occupant. The officer was taken to a central London hospital for treatment, and his condition is not life-threatening. I guess not. It's foot-threatening, but not life-threatening.
It just hurts.
So a police spokesman said... Firearms officials or officers attended an address at an Old Oak Common Lane to carry out a welfare check on an occupant there. After completing the call and leaving the address, a police firearm was discharged by one of the officers, causing an injury to his foot. He has been taken to a central London hospital for treatment. His condition is not life-threatening. The Directorate of Professional Standards has been informed. Inquiries continue.
See, that guy, and people don't know this, but he actually... His mother was Australian.
Oh, yeah, I know.
He lived there for the first 3 years, then he moved here.
Yeah, England. I knew that.
Yeah, that's why he has that sort of English-Australian accent.
Have you checked your credit report lately? Switching gears a little bit?
No, I hadn't really wanted... I haven't really wanted to get myself a loan here lately. Equifax sends breach victims to fake notification site.
Insult to injury again.
The official Equifax Twitter account encouraged people to visit a knockoff website that mocks the company's security practices instead of the site the company created to warn of a massive data breach. That recent breach exposed personal details for as many as 143 million U.S. customers.
I'm going to say that as many people have been fired from Equifax the last week, there's going to be one more.
It's going to be, you know, at least one more. Yeah, I just agreed with you for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, just one more.
One more.
In a tweet on Tuesday afternoon, an Equifax
their
representative.
Their social media guy.
Yeah, using the name Tim, some call me Tim.
Hello, Tim.
Wrote, hi, for more information about the product and enrollment, please visit securityequifax.com. The message came in response to a question about free credit monitoring Equifax is offering victims. The site is a knockoff of the official Equifax breach notification site, which is a different URL. I'm not in the business of giving URLs out, so I'm just
barely. I mean, it's barely different.
The word security's in there, and it's not supposed
Equifax
to be.
Is in there too.
A security researcher created the imposter site to demonstrate how easy it is. So you got one of these guys, who wants to like get notoriety.
He's
so
a slacker hacker.
Yeah. So he does this. What he really does is causes more trouble.
That's exactly.
Yes. Shut up and go back to his mom's basement.
He got people fired this time.
He should just go back to his mom's basement. Anyway, he wanted to demonstrate how easy it was to confuse a legitimate name of the bogus one. The Equifax tweet suggests that even company representatives can be easily fooled.
Fueled. That means they put gas in their car real easy.
Easily fooled. The tweet was deleted late Wednesday morning, more than 18 hours after it went live.
Headline is, this is a nightmare headline, Craig. Woman walks into a Longhorn Steakhouse in Spotsylvania. Spotsylvania. Where's that?
Spotsylvania.
Is this in Spotsylvania?
It's a Spotsylvania.
Woman walks into a Longhorn Steakhouse in Spotsylvania, gets bitten by a copperhead.
What is up with people getting, on their grills?
It's insane.
In their boots, you know?
There's a snake in my boot.
Yeah, Woody.
Rachel Mayrick's first thought as she walked through the entrance of a Longhorn Steakhouse at South Point and she felt a sharp pain in her left foot was that she'd been stung by a bee, or possibly a hornet, because I'm sure that hurt worse than a bee sting. She tried to brush it off and keep going, but said that she felt such an excruciating pain as she took the next step, that venom acts fast, that she dropped her cell phone, her wallet, and her 13-year-old son Dylan's hand.
I had a run. Hey, you want to hear a random story?
Sure I do. I told you I'm always
Craig's
open for these.
Random story.
I caught a mouse at Kroger.
Was it
Craig's
shopping?
Random story.
Had it already checked out, or was it still in produce?
A little mousy McMouse face came running in, and I grabbed him with my hands. He's cute. He just had to look at his.
What?
Yeah, because he ran in the store, and he was going to get hurt. You know, he was going to either get in the store where he didn't belong, somebody was going to kill him or something.
Barry would take care of
him. So I chased him and got him to like a little corner, and I
scooped him up.
I scooped him up, and he just looked at me like, hey, you please don't kill me.
Did he have a little hat
He's
on?
Like, please don't kill me. I took him outside and let him go. And
good
he was
for
like,
you.
He's like, thank you, sir. And then I found out later he was supposed to give me 3 wishes.
Oh, no. You missed out. So this lady said, I had my fingers under my foot, and that's when I felt something moving. So the thing said...
Who walks into a steakhouse with their finger under their foot?
No. When she stepped on it, felt the pain, she reached down, and she could feel the snake squirming under her flip-flop or whatever it was she was wearing. She had been bitten twice on her toes and once on the side of her foot by a roughly 8-inch-long copperhead that had managed to get into the restaurant's foyer.
That would have been a dead copperhead.
Yeah, it is, actually. It was still attached to her sandal-shod foot until she shook it loose.
You know what that? You know what this means, don't you?
What?
Free steaks for life.
For maybe. She freaked out. She recalled yelling, "I got bit! I got bit!"
They're like, "What are you talking about?"
No, you want a steak. You want a steak.
Yeah, right.
Myrick had gone to the restaurant for dinner on September 12th with her son, her boyfriend Michael Clem, and some of Clem's friends and family.
Clem.
Michael Clem. Yeah, old man Clem's boy. Clem said he looked around for a bee because he thought she'd been stung when she first started screaming and crying. Then he spotted the copperhead.
I've seen those up close.
Ooh, they're creepy.
Yeah.
I've bred and raised reptiles for 15 years, said Clem.
Clem knows.
Clem sounds like a winner who works for United Real Estate Premier with Myrick. There was just no question what it was. He and Dylan quickly stomped on the snake to kill it, and then Clem called the rescue squad. I think I would have had somebody stomping while somebody was calling, but that's my choice. He said he wouldn't let anyone touch the snake until the EMTs can confirm that it was indeed a copperhead. Myrick's foot began to swell as she and Clem waited outside the restaurant for the ambulance to take her. You know, that's a long way. That's a longer wait than waiting for your table.
You're watching,
Longhorn.
You're watching your foot go up like a balloon.
Like a balloon. Probably started lift rising, too.
She probably started floating there and to hold her down.
They took her to Mary Washington Hospital. Clem told the rest of the party to go ahead and eat. I'll take care of this. You guys,
I got it.
And order me something to go.
Save me one of them rolls.
The restaurant manager filed a report with the chain. And the chain comped them their meals, which they appreciated.
I mean, this could have killed a child. I mean,
oh, absolutely.
I'm sure that because she got treatment, I was going to go ahead and finish. We'll talk.
When the rescue squad arrived, a black Sharpie was used to circle the spot on the side of Myrick's foot where she had been bitten.
Yep.
Antivenom was ordered, and it was to be administered only if the swelling got past her ankle by 2 a.m. September 13th. They didn't want to give it to me earlier because the side effects can outweigh the benefits. I don't want anything to do with any of that story.
Imagine this thing, if it made it, you know, like the mouse, you know, if it just got in somehow.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens. It doesn't mean there's filthy place.
There's animals, there's reptiles.
But, the two deer sitting drinking coffee, though, was kind of weird. Toilet seat art museum up for sale.
Oh, how much?
Big surprise.
I'll bid.
I bet you will. Alamo Heights. For more than a half century, a retired plumber in Alamo Heights has been turning toilet seats into a work of art.
His name's Mario.
But the man known as the King of the Commode, there's that word again, has announced he's stepping down from the throne. Barney Smith will take a selfie with you at his museum, but
he won't say
cheese. He says toilet seat. Just schedule an appointment, and you two can meet the owner, operator, and artist behind the world's biggest and perhaps only toilet seat art museum. Barney creates art on the toilet seats.
Oh, I was wondering what Barney was doing.
Artist
now.
And friend Carrie By.
I was wondering what Barney was doing since he got canceled on PBS.
Right. And Barney?
Yeah.
PBS?
Yeah, the dinosaur, the purple.
Oh, I was thinking of Barney Miller.
No,
That wasn't PBS at all.
No.
And he hasn't stopped for 50 years. There's a lot of history hanging in there, Barney says, as people file into his lid lair. You might say this museum is overflowing with history dating back 53 years. Each of them has got a story, Barney adds with a smile. 1,321 seats from all... from Batman to the Berlin Wall.
I want to see some of these.
The Olympic Games to board games, Barbie and Ken to the local TV news. There's nothing like it in the area, says Carrie, and there's no one like him.
I'll bet.
And I don't know why I'm talking like some guy that would be announcing a wrestling match.
You're going to butter her necktie, are you?
Yeah. We last paid a visit to Barney's laboratory in 2011. Just one seat, he told us back then, can take him as long as 100 hours to make. 6 years later, his stamina isn't what it used to be. I can't do what I used to do, Barney says with a sigh. The reason, he says, is pretty simple. Because I'm getting old. I'm 96 years old.
Man, he's almost your age.
Yeah. And so Barney now looks to unload his collection. He would like to sell it to another museum, like anyone's going to want it.
Sure.
That is what
I want to look at it. I want to see some of this art.
He said sales have really gone to the toilet. Yeah.
I almost caught me off guard there for a second. Headline is, woman fakes a seizure to thwart bizarre train robbery. Now, this is a cool story. This is weird, but what a great idea.
She was thinking on her toes. She was on her feet. Quick on her feet.
Quick on her feet. BART police, you know BART, don't you?
Simpson.
Yeah. BART police say the woman captured in train surveillance camera shots tried to rob a fellow rider by passing her a note. Police released two photos of the suspected armed robber, who is described as a white woman with long strawberry blonde hair, possibly in her mid-30s, and pulling a shopping cart. The threat on the paper, in part, said, "There are two guns pointed at you right now. If you want to live, hand back your wallet and your phone, too." Passenger Julie Draglin rode from Dell City to the East Bay when the rider behind her gave her the note. ABC 7 news reporter Eliza Harrington interviewed her Sunday. Draglin said the incident was probably the most scared I've ever been. And I could imagine.
Because notes are scary.
Notes could be scary. If they're saying something like there's guns pointed at you, you know, that could be scary. Draglin was scheduled to leave for an international flight the next day, so she knew she couldn't lose her wallet. So what'd she do? She feigned a seizure.
Whoa. Hail Caesar. Calm down. I think you're having one right now.
So I started to slump over into the left and started, like, shaking, and people started to notice and were like, are you okay, said Draglin.
She caused confusion.
That is so awesome. Mm-hmm. She's my hero. The scene Draglin caused around 4:30 Saturday near the Civic Center station scared the attempted robber. Police says she got off the train at Powell Street. "I've been with BART police for 19 years now, and I've never seen anything like this," said Deputy Chief Lance Height, BART PD. BART police say 20 to 30 people were on board the train at the time of the attempted robbery, and they're asking those people to come forward and act as witnesses. What if they can't act? I mean, not everybody's a trained actor.
That's pretty presumptuous.
So break it down. This is a great story. So somebody hands her a note. She's on the train. "Give me your money and your phone and your wallet, or the two guns pointed at you will fire and you'll be dead."
Right.
So she, super fast, things starts shaking, does a seizure. The lady runs off scared, and she's got free.
What if she's lying there really having a seizure?
Oh, that'd be terrible.
"I was actually having a seizure. Thanks for helping me." Hey, 7-Eleven, you remember 7-Eleven?
Love them.
We used to have them. Don't have them anymore.
Yeah, I miss them.
7-Eleven now offers locally made restaurant quality meals.
Why? Video or I don't believe it.
Well, also why?
Why? Well, what if they're good?
If I want a restaurant quality meal, I'll go to a restaurant. I don't want a 7-Eleven.
What if you're driving through town on your way 500 miles and you pull in for gas and you're hungry and you got to get...
Gas station pizza's fine.
No, it's not. Well, actually, Hunt's pizza's pretty good.
Okay, so 7-Eleven, though perfectly serviceable as a convenience store, is practically synonymous with last-ditch dining.
I agree.
That's hard to say.
I used to have a buddy that go in there and get the frozen burritos.
Dude,
best. I would not touch them.
The nachos and the frozen burritos.
I would never eat any of that. I'd get a slushy.
Why? The frozen burritos are wrapped up, frozen, ready to go.
That's nastiness to me. I still want to eat a frozen burrito.
They used to have this really good thing that was like a sundae, and you'd put it, like, it was ice cream sundae, and you put it in their microwave for so many seconds, and it would make the fudge hot.
Oh.
So you had, like, a real hot fudge sundae.
Oh, I'm all in.
It was good.
Now that I'd eat.
Can I go back to the story now?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They're synonymous with last-ditch dining. It's to be expected when a large chunk of your menu can be served off of a hot dog roller. But as the whole world goes foodie, America's best-known convenience brand is willing to accept that a spinning buffalo chicken taquito may not always cut it, and the chain has started testing locally made, chef-inspired heat and meat.
I'll have a heat and meat.
Heat and eat meals. Described as convenient restaurant-quality meal solutions, these 15 new offerings available at select 7-Eleven stores in four metro areas were created with inspiration from Italian, homestyle, Asian, and Mexican recipes.
Sounds delicious.
And can be heated at the store for immediate consumption or taken to go.
I think this is a swell idea.
But there are already gas stations out there that have fully running restaurants inside of them.
There's one locally
that's got a burrito joint.
Yeah, I'm telling you, though, but that's fast food, mostly. It's still mostly fast food. This one
I'm thinking of is like an actual burrito joint, like you went to, like, you know, Chipotle or Moe's or somewhere.
Welcome to Moe's.
I like Moe's.
Me too.
Anyway, all the menu items.
You all right?
I just lost my spot. I was killing time. Are prepared in local kitchens using premium quality ingredients and delivered daily to stores. The chain even goes so far as to say that it benchmarks the ingredients and flavor profiles against restaurant quality offerings.
That sounds good.
With these chef-inspired entrees, 7-Eleven can provide busy individuals and families with a delicious premium quality whole meal solution in one stop. You know who else can?
Who?
Every other restaurant. Kelly Buckley, 7-Eleven Vice President of Fresh Food Innovation. Boy, I wouldn't want to be on the other team. The stale food technology. Yeah. Said in a statement, "We want to take the hassle out of mealtime with a variety of options and without giving up quality." It's 7-Eleven.
I'm telling you, though, it doesn't matter. 7-Eleven carries donuts from Krispy Kreme.
Well, how do you know? We don't have 7-Elevens.
We used to. I used to go in there and get Krispy Kreme donuts.
No, because they were gone by the time that happened.
Back in the day. No, sir.
I worked at one.
Krispy Kreme donuts have been around since the 60s.
But I worked at a 7-Eleven when I was out of high school.
Well, the one I went to.
And we did not have it.
Had Krispy Kreme
donuts.
So
you, sir, do not know what you're talking about.
I remember it.
Available options include a variety of well-known staples from chicken parmesan to macaroni and cheese to a Chipotle chicken bowl.
Oh, Chipotle.
And starting, not the brand.
Chipotle. Oh, my bad.
And starting September 25th, 7-Eleven will be launching a...
Well, that was last week. That's 2 weeks ago.
Okay, well, we're late. They'll be launching a few breakfast meals as well. Despite being known for its aforementioned hot dogs, the brand has been working hard to expand its food choices as of late, including the addition of things like pizza and chicken wings, as well as offering meal combos. I'm okay with the fast food like pizza. We used to have Otis Spunkmeyer cookies we cook in this convection oven.
Yes.
And you'd come in that store and you smell those things cooking. Oh, so good.
Are you talking about 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
Did you put them next to the Krispy Kreme donuts?
We didn't.
Because those always smell good, too.
Because we didn't have those.
Headline is, tourists who complained about the price of a cup of tea gets chased by Nepalese women hurling rocks.
Yeah.
A British tourist.
That happens.
Was chased along a mountain path by an angry local in Nepal after she complained about the price of a cup of tea.
Whoa.
Gemma Wilson, age 35.
She shouldn't go to Starbucks here then.
No, was trekking along the Annapurna circuit with her teenage stepson when they stopped to buy refreshments at a tea house.
We so thirsty.
Miss Wilson complained to the shop owner after being told that a black tea would cost her 150 rupees.
150 rupees?
Insisting she normally paid less. I always ask how much something is first before buying, and for some reason, I didn't this time. I've always paid only 50 rupees for a black tea, Miss Wilson told the
mirror. That is racist.
When I got up to pay, she told me it was 150 rupee. I asked her again, what did you say? And she repeated it, 150 rupee. So I got the money out and paid her. But I said to her it was seriously pricey. That's a little bit of money for some tea, she said. Nepal is one of the poorest countries in the world with the majority of its citizens surviving on less than 75 cents, 85 cents a day.
Which is it, Aaron?
It's 85 cents. 75p, pound, I guess. 75 pound, maybe. I don't know. Wouldn't that be an L, a funny shaped L?
I don't know.
Anyway, 85 cents a day. When Miss Wilson and her stepson left the tea shop, they stopped to take photos of the sign outside. The owner spotted the pair taking pictures, ran towards them, calling Miss Wilson a bad word and attempting to hit her with a plank of wood. They take it serious, Craig.
You don't ask about their price. You don't question their pricing.
If you question the pricing over in Nepal, be prepared for a stack of wood across
the
face.
Right, right.
The incident was all caught on camera. As Miss Wilson and her stepson walked away, the woman chased them along the path throwing stones. You English people are rich. Why bargain? She can be heard saying.
Did she try to bargain? She just complained about the price.
No, she didn't. Miss Wilson. Oh, so see, this is what it is. She was an English person, so the lady, your tea, you wonder how much it is? 150 rupees. I don't know. Miss Wilson says she was left unharmed with the exception of a bruise on her hand. So one of the locks landed home, Craig. Locks. One of the rocks landed home.
Locks of rocks.
I was just begging her to leave us alone, Miss Wilson. I bet that was frightening.
Please just leave me alone.
I knew fighting back was a really bad idea because I had gone over the edge and it was likely I would have died.
Hey, you want to hear a weird random story?
Of course I do.
So, talking about how things are too expensive.
Craig's random story.
Yeah.
So we were downtown around the Nashville area this weekend, and we went to this obnoxious hipster area that's down around
East Nashville.
No, it was another area.
Okay.
It was over near 12th South, near Belmont, 12th South.
I gotcha.
And we went to this this place. They just sell popsicles.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I know the place.
And it was delicious.
Yeah, they're good,
but stupidly priced.
Yes, they're
we
very expensive.
We got four of them, and I walked out of there like $16.
But they're much healthier than what you buy back
then. I don't care. They could be much bigger.
They got
too.
Fruit in them.
They could be much. No, mine was banana chocolate.
Oh, that
but
sounds
they,
delicious.
They could have. They were good.
I bet it had banana in it.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
I did something I never do.
What do you
I
do?
I was guilted into tipping. Because they didn't do anything. All they did was reach in and grab it out of the freezer.
Yeah.
So it was still going to be like $14 or something.
Yeah.
For four little bitty popsicles.
Oh, it sounds delicious, though.
And I just played along, and I said, nope, won't do that again.
Aren't they good, though?
Yeah, but I started thinking for the money I spent, I could have gotten two big containers of Blue Bell.
Oh. Oh, that's true.
I could have gone to Dairy Queen and gotten like four peanut butter parfaits.
You know I'm on a diet, and you're sitting here throwing ice cream at me.
I wish I had ice cream to throw. I wouldn't throw. Aaron, I would not throw ice cream.
Because you'd eat it.
I would not ever throw ice cream.
Okay.
Chinese vase sells for 10,000 times
Good
estimated
night.
Price as auction involving amateur buyer gets way out of hand.
Don't you mean vase? If something sells for that much, it stops being a vase.
Oh, yes, a vase.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for straightening me out. You're more cultured than me.
Yeah, it's a vase.
A Chinese vase valued between 500 and 800 Swiss francs, which is about 382 pounds, which is probably about, what, $900 American?
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. I made that up. I really have no idea what you
said. That's why I said maybe.
Has sold for a record 5 million Swiss francs.
So it was valued at 500 to 800 Swiss francs, and it sold for 5 million Swiss francs.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah, it's like something here. If you go to an auction and something's valued at $500.
And you just keep on bidding.
Because you want it so bad.
He never noticed. He wouldn't shut up long enough to notice nobody else was bidding anymore.
He kept bidding against himself.
It was like Kramer, okay? We give all the free coffee. Exactly. Deal!
Done.
According to the catalog, the vase, which is 23 inches tall and depicts three blue dragons. It does have three blue dragons on a yellow background.
It ain't worth 5 million
Swiss
francs.
It's from the 20th century, but bears an unverified mark from the 18th century. Qinglong era. Qinglong. Maybe it's Qinglong.
It's Qinglong.
Anyway, whatever. There was a bidding battle at the auction on Thursday by two people who believe the vase was, in fact, from the 18th century. The auctioneer at the Geneve this place, said the age of the vase was difficult to evaluate accurately and that
they could have cut it open and counted the rings.
You would think. And they, what was I saying? They tend to be conservative in their estimates. This is the hammer price. So with the commission added, it's a total of 6.08 million Swiss francs, 6.1 million or 5.1 million euros.
$6.1 million, American dollars.
The final price was 10,000 times more than the catalog estimate. The buyer, an amateur from Asia, was in the room for the auction while his competitor bid by telephone. Fichot,
it was the auctioneer's wife behind the curtain.
Probably. Yeah, right. Said that it was the highest bid ever made in Geneva outside of jewelry and watches. The auction house's previous record was a bronze Buddha statue that sold for 550,000 Swiss francs. But they don't ever say, was the guy okay with what he paid?
I guess. I mean, he paid it.
It's the Mark Patch Top 10 list.
Yes, it is. Sticking with our musical theme this time, we're going with Top 10 Autumn Songs.
Yeah, love autumn.
Songs about autumn. It's tied with my favorite time of year. I love autumn and I love winter. Both of those. I like spring okay.
Autumn's my favorite.
I'd rather just
love the air, the cool air, the leaves.
I like to get one of these cylinders where you can sleep for like years and stay healthy and sleep through summer every year. I don't like summer.
You just cut your life in half.
But still, I wouldn't get hot.
Okay,
anyway, number 10.
Okay, well, we'll just all ponder that for a while. Hey, the top 10 autumn songs.
Number 10, Autumn in New York by Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong.
Number 9. Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go.
No, that's not it.
All right. Number 9, Wake Me Up When September Ends by Green Day.
That's probably one of the only Green Day songs I really, really like.
I know that one.
Number 8, Pale September by Fiona Apple.
Number 7, Leaves That Are Green by Sarman?
Sarman, yeah.
Sarman and Guy Funkel. Number 7, Leaves That Are Green by Simon and Garfunkel.
Number 6, one of my favorites, Dead Leaves on the Dirty Ground by the White Stripes.
I'm not really a fan.
Oh, I love the White Stripes. So creative.
Not a fan. Number 5, November Rain by Guns N' Roses.
Another great song. Hey, look who's back. Number 4, I think we're going to be friends by the White Stripes.
I like how these reversed. I have to stop reading.
Yeah, that's kind of bizarre. What happened?
Number 3, Top 10 Autumn Songs. Who made this list up?
It was online somewhere. I didn't.
It was on the internet.
Yeah, it's on
so
the
internet. So it has to be real.
Yeah, it's real.
Number 3, September Song by Frank Sinatra.
Oh, Green Eyes.
The chairman
eyes.
Of the board.
Green Eyes himself. Number 2, Tom Waits with November.
And number 1, I love this band.
Absolutely.
Love this band.
Yes.
California Dreaming by the Mamas and the Papas.
Yes. That was an awesome. That's my favorite song by them, too. They've got a lot of good ones.
They've got a lot of great stuff.
That one, though, is my absolute favorite.
It's a good documentary out there about them, too.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
There's only one of them left.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, there's only two.
Michelle's the last one.
There's only two Traveling Wilburys
left. I know, we're down to two Wilburys.
And that's if you consider Bob Dylan being alive.
One of them
alive.
Looks like Vincent Price.
That's going to wrap up episode 112. Thanks for listening. Come back for episode 113, and please tell your friends about Weird.
Please tell everybody about Weird.
Have them go to Weird Podcast.
Tell everybody you're weird.
No, have them go to weirdnewspodcast.com.
And leave a voicemail.